If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. I mean, with all this talk about the scandal, and man, we have been covering it nonstop. Let's just throw it back to the good old days. I mean, I hear from you guys so much that Bravo has changed. Bravo has changed. It really has changed. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, guys. I mean, look, the ratings certainly for all of this isn't what it used to be. And I don't know. I mean, is the Housewives formula played out? Is it time for changes? I don't really have all the answers. I know that, you know, Beverly Hills had a great season last season. I don't know. Not too much going on this season so far. Potomac just had an off season for me. I'm cautiously optimistic about the return of Atlanta, but not so excited. The OC, I don't know. I guess Tamara being back is good. I'm hoping that's great. I'm really hoping it's all great. But let's just throw it back old school to the good old days of Bravo today. Here is another chat, which is lost on our back feed. This is with, yes, Real Housewives of DC. Look, I don't think the show will ever be back for a lot of reasons. It's really hard in DC. It's really hard to film a reality show there with politics. And, you know, I mean, not just like the political landscape and access and, I mean, people to participate. Everyone needs clearance. And if you're that heavily into politics, you know, high up, you're not going to get clearance. So, but the good old days of RHO DC, they had that mega reunion during COVID. My God, COVID. But here we share a chat with Miss Mary Ammons, one of the OGs. I mean, it only lasted one season. Talk about it all. Of course, we talk about the White House crash, Michaela. Michaela's wonderful, guys. She really is. She's living her best life, married to Mr. Journey over there. You know, living the rock star's wife dream. She's lovely. She wants nothing to do with the Housewives. Sends love to everyone, is not coming on Behind the Velvet Rope because she's not going to talk about Housewives. So it's all you guys want to talk about. This originally aired May 22, 2020. We share a chat and we just take a trip down lane. How many of you watched Real Housewives of DC? I bet you some of you 20-somethings are saying, what the hell is Real Housewives of DC? And we have a lot of 20-something listeners. Last time I gave a shout out, you guys all reached out to me and I said, do we really? You all came out of nowhere. So enjoy this chat with Miss Mary Ammons from the Real Housewives of DC. Lost on our back feed. We hope you guys enjoy it. That's what we're doing on Sundays. Enjoy. Hey guys, this is David. Welcome back Behind the Velvet Rope. How is everybody doing today? Let's just get right into it because we are here with Real Housewife of DC. Yes, I said DC. The one, the only, Mary Ammons. Did I say your last name right? Is it Ammons or Ammons or neither?
It's long A. Ammons.
Ammons.
Amen.
Like amen. Mary is with us today. How are you?
Hallelujah. I'm doing well. Thank you. I am really loving being here in Southern Maryland at our family farm. You know, I've been living in Texas for the last 2 years, and I came here in January because my dad was having some surgery and I had a job opportunity to do a design project. And I ended up not being able to get back to Texas because of this whole pandemic. And so I am here hunkered, and I, you know, it's not a bad place to be.
Okay, first of all, let's just describe what I'm looking at. I'm looking at you and like what? It looks like a gazillion acres of land is behind you. Is this
Well,
farm
it's not
that?
a gazillion.
It's a lot, Mary.
It's about 300 acres, and we're down just up from the Chesapeake Bay on the St. Mary's River, and we're just up at the end of the river. And the house that I'm staying in, that belongs to my parents, that we've owned since I was 13 years old, was brought over in 1652 on a boat from England by Sir Christopher Wren, who was the architect and designer of St. Paul's Cathedral in London.
Oh my God.
Sounds
Well,
really fancy to.
I am just looking at like how much land is behind you. It looks so nice.
Well,
And isn't
usually
it?
there's cows, horses behind me where you can see this,
Wow.
but
So,
they're not
I mean, here you are,
here.
you're just quarantined there. So you have a lot of time to walk around, right?
Oh my gosh, it's not the worst place in the whole world to be stuck. And my parents, I'm here with my parents, just us. My brother and his wife and five children live on the place, but they're in another house. And we're kind of social distancing from them because they're little kids, and my dad and mom are in their 70s and 80s. And dad just had some heart surgery, so we need to be really careful here. So I'm blessed to be just the only out of six of my siblings to be here hanging with mom and dad. And this place is beautiful. There's a beautiful kitchen that I've been cooking in. And in the process of being here for the last couple of months, I have decided that I'm going to be launching my blog, my lifestyle blog, and most of it is going to be about cooking healthy recipes. So I've been doing
Wow.
that since I was here.
So you've been
Yeah.
working on that. I'm telling
Since
you, this quarantine, if you use it right, like I'm using it right for work, like you could get a lot done.
you can, it's really interesting how it's really going to be a study in human behavior, I think, when this is all over, because we've never done this as a culture. We've never done this as a global collective, a human collective, and it's going to be really interesting to hear about how people coped and what they did to stay sane and healthy and structured. I mean, I've really learned that you really have to implement some structure in your day to make sure that you're not sleeping too long or eating too much or drinking too much or doing too much of anything or doing nothing at all,
Seriously. I mean, I started right out with the structure. And like, I mean, I feel like I've been working more now than, I mean, just in this whole quarantine than like a really long time, you know? Which
Yes,
is good, I
I know. And
guess.
well, being here with my parents has been really awesome because this is their home. They sold our family home about 15 years ago, and they live here. This was our second home down here on the water outside of DC. And it can accommodate, we can sleep 30 of us here in the house. And I mean,
Wow.
there's a big bunk room with a bunch of bunk beds, and in our family total, there's 33 people, including my parents. And we
Wow.
ditched a few, so there were more, but a couple of them got booted, but like husbands. Anyway, that was supposed to be funny, but you didn't
Well, I
laugh.
mean, no, I was going to say, well, I'm just thinking of the space. Like, you have a lot of space. Like, that must be so nice for quarantine. The opposite of where I am in New York City. I mean, I'm in my apartment. It's not so
Yeah.
small, but like, you know, it's nothing like
Yeah.
that. Where are your
But
children?
what's been fun, my children are scattered. I have I have five total, and three of them are now in DC. One of them lives outside of DC, and the other one lives in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
And one of my daughters was in New York City and has been working for the last year in New York City, and got out around the first week of February. and is staying with a brother and his family that have a garage apartment. So she's safe and sound and can work remotely from home, which she does anyway. So everyone's safe, and I'm blessed to be here. What I was going to share with you is that
Yes.
because this was our second home, there's a lot of stuff and a lot of like there's just a lot of stuff where everyone has kind of flopped and dumped their stuff when they move, like kids that are moving out of the house, going to either college, or everyone knows that they can sort of store their belongings here at the farm because there's a few barns and space where they can just sort of dump their crap. And so my project has been with my mom to just like start to clear all that stuff out because it's time. And the other thing that we've done is my mom and I both paint. We've been painting for about 25 years,
Oh, wow.
and we set up one of the rooms here as an art studio for her because she just retired as a nurse, a full-time nurse at 77. And thank God. I mean, that happened in
Seriously?
January,
Wow.
and it had nothing to do with this. It was just time for her to retire. And it's a blessing in disguise because the floor she worked on at the hospital here has now turned into the COVID floor. So,
Wow.
things happen for a reason, no question.
Well, I mean, kudos to her for working till she's 77. Like, OMG.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures up my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
So I had another great Vanderpump Rules party. Listen, we are all engrossed in the scandal, right? It's all we want to talk about here behind the velvet rope. And my parties have now become a regular thing, and it's great because last minute when I throw this all together, you don't think I plan this, even though it happens every week ahead of time. I order the pizzas and then I go to Drizly for the alcohol. I'm a good host. You have to provide alcohol, right? Listen, Drizly is amazing. It's the most convenient way to buy beer, wine, and spirits and have it delivered to your door in under 60 minutes. Are you as busy as I am? You don't have time to go to the alcohol store. Drizly is the number one app for alcohol delivery. And it's not just that the alcohol comes so quickly. They have every type of alcohol you pretty much want, such a wide variety of a selection. And I love that they basically are economical. They shop across multiple stores to compare prices, and they really find the best deals on what you're looking for. Vodka, tequila, after dinners, wine, champagne, everything you could imagine. So the next time you're having people over or maybe having a nightcap by yourself, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's Drizly.com, the number one app for alcohol delivery.
She's a rock star. I mean, we got a Peloton bike. That was the other thing that we've done is we put our art studio and the gym outside in a sunroom area overlooking the pool with a view. And my mom, before she retired from work, she would go when she wasn't working, she would go to yoga in the morning and spin class at night. I mean, the woman is
Wow.
just an incredibly strong, useful, amazing woman.
Wow.
Grandmother of 25 grandkids,
Oh my God. I'm just
Yeah.
jealous that you have a gym. I mean, I'm doing my online boot camps in the morning, but like just to have any piece of equipment, oh my God, that sounds like a dream come true right now.
Well, we've both become Peloton addicts. Our, it's funny, every time I say I'm going to go get on the bike, she'll tell me that she was just about to go get on the bike. So we have a little bit of, I think we need to add some structure to our Peloton use too.
Like have like a sign out sheet or like one of those sign up sheets, like book your time in the morning of when you want to work out. Now, like remind me, are you from the DC area originally? I forgot.
Yes, I am second generation. My mom is from here.
Oh wow.
She grew up in the horse country of Virginia, and we grew up in Northern Virginia, just kind of by the CIA in McLean.
And you're kind of
Just
like
an interesting little place to live. It's a little quote from Red Wheelhouse, but it's just an interesting little place to live. Colin Powell lives across the street. You remember
oh my
that?
God.
Ethel Kennedy lives down the street,
I mean, are
or did.
you a bit, I mean, that's the thing about DC. It's like the LA of politics. Like it's all, I mean, it's just DC, just like it's just politics, politics, politics.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that because it's kind of an unspoken language that if you're in a social setting, you'd never, ever address politics. Although these days, I would say that it's probably a bit different. Now, I've been gone for 2 years, so I don't really know what it's like in the social settings presently. Well, we don't have those anymore, but I mean, since Trump was elected, and how people are managing those conversations, or if those conversations are happening in social settings, because it's you know, the even the people the if there were people here that voted for him, they're not happy. I can say that, most of them,
Really?
a lot of them, yes, for sure, especially
He
now.
really? Okay. Interesting.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be one of my questions for you. Like, what's the, I mean, that really was a question. Like, COVID aside, like, what was the, like, what's the atmosphere in DC? But I mean, I guess if you haven't been there, but that's the general
Yeah, I
feeling.
haven't
Like,
spent much time here. Well, yeah, in fact, several members of my family, including my Democratic dad, who, you know, was part of the Kennedy days and worked for President Kennedy, he voted for Trump because he had to vote against Hillary. He did not like Hillary, and he can't even watch him now. It's just he, I mean, he's just repulsed by his behavior, by what he's done. And you know, I think a lot of people feel that way, even though, you know, there's I think there has been some good that's happened, but I think overall his behavior is so horrible that it's something's going to happen, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the other end at the other end of this, the COVID thing, and how it ends up, because we are in an election year. That's what's so crazy.
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, yes. Like, I think this could either make or break the election, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just depends.
And that's the general gist of like,
And you know, the whole thing, sorry to interrupt, but this whole pandemic has completely overtaken our news, and the election isn't even really being talked about. And it's just 100% news right now is this pandemic. And you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens.
that's what I said the other day. I'm
So.
like, I don't re I mean, first of all, I've stopped watching the news because I feel A, I'm working too much, but B, I feel like I get enough news just from little snippets from people I talk to. So I have officially stopped watching the news, but I don't remember the news before COVID. Like, will the news ever be about anything else? I mean, I realize not today, but it's hard to imagine like a year from now turning on the news to actual news.
Well, if you think back before COVID, the entire news stream was all about Trump.
Yeah.
Nothing else was being discussed. Nothing else, really, unless it
Yeah.
was, you know, something really big. But that was like squeezed in there, just mentioned, but it was mostly 24/7 Trump and this administration and what's happening.
Yeah, but I find that that's interesting what you say about like DC, like the etiquette is like not really to mention politics. I feel you should never mention politics, how much money you make, or your age. Like, don't ask me my age, don't ask me my political affiliation, and don't ask me how much money I make. Other than that, you can ask me anything. I'm a complete open book. That's what I feel.
Well, one of the main questions that happens here in DC in social circles is, where'd you go to school? Or if you have children, where are your children in school?
Mm.
There is a little bit of an elitist attitude here about education. And I think that has to do with the politics here.
Interesting. Now, so being a DC girl from the beginning, when they were casting, do you remember when they were starting to cast this show? Like, did you watch the other Bravo, like Housewives, before they kind of brought it to DC?
I really rarely watched it. I had been exposed when the OC first started and my daughters started watching it, and it was on the TV in the kitchen sometimes. And I remember after the first season, they were marathoning it. And I remember being completely sucked into it and going, what in the heck is this craziness? So I was familiar with it, but I really hadn't been exposed to much because I'm not a person that enjoys watching a whole lot of drama and women catfighting. And, you know, I wouldn't call myself a fan at the time, for sure.
You were just like, what is this?
Yes. And you know, I when they approached me, they asked me if I would be interested in being on a reality show. And they didn't tell me what it was. In fact, they wouldn't tell us what it was until we were presented with our contracts, which was like, I want to say 3 months after our discussions began. They were calling it another show. They were calling it Inside Washington.
How did they approach you? Like, was there a casting call that you answered, or they reached out to you somehow?
No, they basically, so it's the local production companies will pitch Bravo to bring the show to their city. And so there's a local production company here called Half Yard Productions, and they do say yes to the dress. So they had been pitching Bravo for a couple of years, I think, to bring the show to DC, and couldn't. I don't think Andy could visualize politics and how that would work, and who would do it, and who would agree to do it, because politicians' wives really can't do it. So I think he had a hard time wrapping his head around how that would work. But as soon as Obama was elected, I think that's when things really became interesting to him, because all eyes were on D.C. then. And then I think the way Half Yard presented what their concept was appealing to him. But no, I think the way it was done is the production company went to a lot of the girls who do PR in DC to sort of figure out who would be good candidates and who would actually agree to do the show in DC. Yeah. So they found me, and Linda and I are old dear friends, and I pushed her forward and said, you know, this woman would be perfect. We're already friends. She's a hoot. She's a successful businesswoman. She's been in DC for over 25 years. She's got children. She's hilarious, and we have really good chemistry. So I think they sort of tagged us together in the beginning.
And then were you like, was anybody upset, or were you upset when they said, guess what, this is no longer Insider Washington or Washington Insider, whatever you just mentioned the title was going to be, we're actually morphing this into The Real Housewives?
Oh, can you hear that ding in my computer?
No,
Sorry.
I could hear nothing but some chirping or something of
Me?
your nature. All I can hear is the
Okay,
nature in
good.
the background. So were
Okay,
you
good.
guys
Yes,
at
it's
were,
raining here.
oh wow, it looks gorgeous.
Beautiful. So, what were you saying? Sorry.
Oh no, sorry. So were you guys like, were you, was anyone upset, or were you upset when they told you like, forget this Washington Insider concept, this is morphing into something different, and guess what? Surprise, we're part of the Real Housewives now.
No, that's not the way it went down because I'm no dummy, and the more I learned about what the plan was and what they were trying to do, immediately when I had the first meeting with one of the casting directors, I sat at lunch with her and I said, "This has to be Real Housewives. There's just no way the way you're pitching this and what you're looking for five women that are doing different things that could be friends." And I just looked at her and I was like, "I know you can't say it, but I know what this is." So I just assumed from the beginning that it was Real Housewives. And that's when they did finally offer me a contract and say they really did want me, I went to my father, who is one of the pioneers of the cable business and a lawyer. And he thought I was absolutely crazy for even thinking of doing such a thing, including my family and putting my family at risk. And I really had to sell him. And when I told him why I wanted to do it and what my theory was around it, he understood and actually said if he were in my shoes, he would do it too. So, first of all, I knew that reality shows were not working in DC, that it's really hard to do a reality-based show. That I think the MTV show was here, that flopped. And then I think Rob Lowe tried to do something here in DC, that didn't work or was never picked up. So I said, "Dad, I know it's a risk. I know why they want me. And I also know that this probably isn't going to go very far because I don't think that reality shows really work in DC. And I think Bravo is trying, and this is what my thinking was at the time, that and I believe I'm right, is I think Bravo was hearing a lot from their fans, their franchise fans, that they were losing followers because it was getting so crazy with the Atlanta girls, the way they were behaving, and the Jersey girls and flipping tables and all that kind of stuff, that people were getting a bit turned off to this level of drama. And so I think that they were testing to see if the ratings would hold for kind of a kinder, gentler, less chaotic show. And so I think that's what we were, definitely. I think we brought at a level of class that hadn't been seen, to the franchise. I think in some ways it was, if I listened to the critics, I think some people thought we were a little flat and uninteresting. But I think a lot of that had to do with the Salahis and the way the Salahis completely overran the show with their behavior and their nonsense. And so they had to go, our producers had to go back and re-edit the show to make it completely about that one incident, which really just made us, go
That's,
away. I'd have to go away.
yeah, no, that's, I got a lot of questions about that and a lot of theories and a lot of statements. Why do you, but to your point, why do you think reality shows don't, like, why do you think it's hard to do a reality show in DC, or like, why don't they work? Just because none of the politicians' wives can really participate, or the politicians can't participate?
People in DC like to hold their cards very tight and they like to keep their business quiet. And there's a lot of wealth here that people don't like to show their stuff off. People have nice things and nice cars and nice homes, but they don't necessarily have it flashing around like cities like Dallas, Texas, and Los Angeles. So I think that to get people to really be to bring on the drama here in DC is pretty it's a big stretch, I think.
This work year has been more stressful so far than any year I've had in a really long time, all because of this podcast. And you guys know I'm a workaholic and I have such a hard time taking my mind off of work. But one thing that really has helped me is the mobile game Love and Pies. Now, I am not a gamer. I mean, you think of me, you don't think of a gamer, right? But it's not just that this game takes my mind off of work. It's that Love and Pies is related to our reality TV that we talk about here every day. There's more drama in this game and more intrigue than and the shows that we watch. There's a woman named Amelia Green. You kind of play as her. She's a single mom. She moved to the countryside after a rough divorce. She discovers all these dark family secrets. Amelia's mom is missing. And the more you play, the more I play, I get sucked in and I just want to keep advancing. But don't take my word for it. More than 4.5 million people downloaded this game in the first year. And just in case you're wondering, it's free to download. So for a tasty mix of love and drama, download Love and Pies for free today. That's Love and Pies, free to download in the App Store or Google Play.
Because, you know, and all that participated and were cast, I know that I can speak for Linda and myself. We both said, you know, we're just going to be our authentic selves. We're not interested in acting a certain way to, you know, cause problems or, and I told them, I told our producers, I said, you know, I am a very non-confrontational person. I actually don't like conflict. I flee from conflict, actually. And I think you saw a little bit of that in our season where, you know, I probably didn't stand up for Kat the way I should have with, you know, Erica. And I kind of freeze when conflicts start. And I let our producers know that from before I even signed a contract and just said, you know, I'm just a nice girl, and I hold friendships very, you know, I hold loyalty and friendship and behavior to the highest standards, and I know what I'm signing up for, but I want you to know that I'm going to do my best to, you know, be entertaining and participate in the entertainment factor of what we're doing here, because it's very important. But I'm not going to be someone I'm not either. So I think that's the difference in what we gave, because I think, you know, as these seasons go on, I do know that producers definitely ask for certain things to happen and coax people to do things, you know, just to cause some drama and stir things up.
Did you see a lot of that on your show, like where producers really try to like manipulate the situation and cause drama?
It's very subtle. It's very sneaky. And usually it happens when we are in our pickup interviews. So when we're sitting for 2 hours, having a line producer behind the camera ask us questions and tell us things, feed us information that we don't have about certain things that are going on with other women in the show and getting our opinions on them, they're stirring the pot for sure. And
totally.
Also feeding little nuggets of what's being said about me and my reaction and just kind of a big witch's cauldron of stirring a pot, you know, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard things from different.
You know,
go on, sorry.
Yeah, but I also know that, and we were all very naive to this. I mean, we really were pretty naive to it, with an idea of knowing that there's an end goal here, and the end goal is not to just sit and watch us in our homes or at a party, you know. Have a cocktail together and chit chat. It's, you know, they want some storylines to be woven. They want some things to be interacting and interesting and the drama. You know, we walked into this very naive and, you know, just kind of thrown into it with very little information too.
I mean, and I've heard the same thing from like a lot of other like housewives that I've spoken to, you know, that right, like in the pickups, the producers will be like, well, can you believe what she said about you? And I mean, if that's not stirring the pot, I don't know what is.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. And I had no idea what was going on. All they wanted me to do was to talk about how I feel about the Salahis. That was a majority of the questions that I was getting. Because they ended up having to edit the show all around them. And so I was very vocal about how they really had very little respect in our town, and that they were cons and using a winery to barter to be sponsors for these charity events, and you know that they were just basically Bonnie and Clyde. But I had no idea that they were working on something against me with them. I had no idea until that winery scene where I'm at the table.
Right.
And
And putting them aside just for a second, because trust me, we got to get into them. Like, do you
well,
think
that's usually all I talk about with them. That's usually, I mean, David, honestly, that's usually all anyone wants to hear about when they interview me about this experience.
that doesn't shock me. I mean, listen, it's a lot of what I want to hear about. And I have a whole theory on that too, because I want to ask you just about. I feel that's why DC was a whole different show than all these other shows, because it was almost overshadowed by this whole thing. But before we get there, and then we're going to get there, do you think, short of them, the show was well cast? Like Stacey, Linda, Kat, I mean, besides you, of course, like, do you think they cast the show correctly with the other players besides the Salahis?
I do too. I think we're a great group. I think I put that in my Twitter feed today. I said we really, the four of us, so much fun together, and I think there was enough drama and enough pot stirring with the four of us that was interesting. But I do think that the show was well cast. I think that it was. I know that the African American slot, because they had to, they I knew that they the producers were having a hard time filling that slot because there weren't a whole lot of women that were interested in doing it.
And they
But
specifically wanted an African American for one of the slots.
yeah, they did for sure. They had to.
I mean, and that's one of the things, you know, there's all of this, because I mean, I don't know if you follow any of the Housewives now, but the fact that, you know, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they have an African American, Garcelle. This is like the first season. Like, there's been all of this hoopla over like the casts are either African American, like Potomac and Atlanta, or they're predominantly white, and there's no racial mix in any of the cast. And now I'm like, well, wait a second. DC had this people. Does anyone realize this, that this existed on the Real Housewives of DC? Like, this already existed. I just think it's funny that no one seems to realize this actually has already existed in the history of Housewives.
Well, I think you heard, I think if I recall, Stacy said, made a statement in our show that said, DC is the chocolate city.
She did.
She did. So I think that's really why they had to have some representation of the African American community there.
Now, right. I mean, that makes sense. Now, we're going to come back to that too in a second. So let's just get into the Salahis. Thank you for answering. I'm trying to give you, you know, a different platform, because I do realize that all everyone wants to talk to you about is the Salahis. So for a minute there, I wanted it to be about you, Mary, and your wonderful
Well, we
palatial
can get back
background.
to me. Can we get back to me? Because what I usually like to do in these situations, in these interviews, is to get that part out of the way and sort of like put that aside, like deal with it, and then put it aside, and then talk about me and what I'm up to. And it's been 10 years, David.
Totally. We can get
It's a
back to
long
you.
time.
We can get back to you
Yeah.
afterwards. Yes. Okay, so let's get into
Okay.
it. So here's my thing. Like, do you think, like, did the show set out to be all about the Salahis, or was it the fact that this happened in real life And then everyone had to like jumble and the whole story changed. Like, was the set out to be about this? Like, did that situation happen before the show was greenlit and cast, or was in the middle?
No, what you said before is absolutely accurate. So we started filming the middle of September, and our schedule was 5 days a week, 5 hours a day for 5 months. That was our schedule going in. And so we started in mid-September. The White House crash, and we're just bobbing along, bobbing along. The White House crash happened Thanksgiving week. So we're like three quarters of the way done because we were breaking for the Thanksgiving holiday, and then we were breaking for the Christmas holidays and coming back. And we're going to have 2 weeks of filming between Thanksgiving and the December holidays, and then come back in January and wrap. So we were almost done, and that happened. And we actually, our production went dark for 3 or 4 weeks. We didn't have any word about anything because legally, Bravo was being implicated for this action by the White House and the Secret Service and Congress. And so they were in a, excuse my language, shitstorm on the other side, on the legal side. And it was happening right around when Comcast was buying NBCUniversal. And Comcast is a pretty conservative group. And they don't, you know, they were just getting into bed with NBCUniversal, and this happened. So in answer to your question, no, we this the show had to scramble, really. And I ended up, it's really sad to me what happened just personally, because I did the show. Majority of the reason I did the show was to promote my charity Labels for Love, and I raise money for women's and children's causes for here in DC locally. And I really wanted to feature that and showcase that to grow the organization and take it national and build a platform of charity. And so I pulled together in about 3 weeks this incredible fashion show that was sponsored by the Renaissance organization, Marriott. I had Lila Rose, the dress designer from Dallas, Texas, come and do a fashion show at the Mayflower Hotel. Renaissance underwrote practically the whole thing. And they didn't let me know until the very last week we were filming that my whole entire charitable platform would be cut from the show, edited out. And that my event that had just raised a bunch of money for Children's National Medical Center here was cut. And that the whole because they were going to use my charity event as the season finale show. Like our last event was going to be the season finale, and it would have been my show, my fashion show. Instead, it was how it ended up be the White House crash. And then so they had to re-edit the whole entire season to end on that note and see what that really looked like from the camera's angles. Yeah, it
And
was a scramble. Yeah.
that's a scramble. And like, while Bravo was being implicated, what the White House and Secret Service thought Bravo had something to do with the Salahis crashing the Obama White House.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And they really didn't. And, you know, I don't know if you remember in that scene where Mikkel is getting dressed for the White House in her sari, and she's at the hair salon, and there's a big scramble about the invitation. Where's the invitation? Our producers did something unprecedented. They crossed the fourth wall, you know, that term in production, and they put our line producers in the scene asking for the invitation, which was very smart because I think they had an idea that this was very risky. And probably Bravo encouraged them to make sure they were covering their butts. and you know, to prove that they were not behind this and that they were actually looking for that invitation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, when this came out in the media, were you guys shocked? I mean, like, did you text Kat and Linda and are like, holy shit?
David.
Like,
David, I will never forget it. It is like something ironed in my brain. I was here at the farm because we spent our family Thanksgiving here at the farm. It was Wednesday because the White House incident happened on Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. So Wednesday morning, the news is blasting that there's been this major international incident and that this couple has crashed Obama's first state dinner. And it's from this woman who's on The Real Housewives in the cast. Linda and I were, and Kat and Stacey, we were all on the phone together and just my, like, oh my God, what does this mean? What is, like, does this mean that our show is going to get canceled? Like, are we even going to get to be on The Real Housewives? Or, like, we had no idea. We were freaking out, really.
Did
any we got no information. No information. Like no information. All the only information we got was, you guys are not coming back. We will let you know what's going on. And we didn't really hear from anybody for like 3 to 4 weeks. We were just dark, on hold.
That must have been crazy. Like, right, Bravo was just like, just mind your own business. Like, we got to deal with this. Goodbye. We'll be in touch.
You're in a holding pattern, basically, is what they told us. So just stay tuned and we'll let you know what's happening when we can.
Wow.
It was a mess. It really was a mess and very upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a show that you worked on. And like you said, like your charity and like you work at a show, a lot of things on the show.
Yeah. And a lot of it was edited out because they had to re-edit the show to deal with the end crescendo of what this looked like behind the scenes at the end.
And at the reunion, I mean, I don't know, Michaela's argument or whatever, it made no sense.
Oh my God. I've been reading because there's been a lot of people talking about it lately because we're at our 10-year anniversary. And it's funny how people are talking about that reunion and how Mikhail really showed her colors and the way she was busted about the Redskinette cheerleader lie and I mean the MS thing, and there was just so much that she just dug herself in a hole even deeper at the reunion.
And I guess they just thought they were entitled to be there, I guess, invitation or not, is really what it came down to.
I think there was something that was unique to whatever they worked out that made it so they thought that they could somehow get away with it, like with Michelle Jones, who was in the I think she was Secretary of the Army or something, worked for the Secretary of the Army, and they had involved her in their charity event in September, and so they were friends with her or, you know, acquaintances with her. And I think that Michelle Jones truly was trying to get them in, but there was never a confirmation. There was never. So I think what they did is they just risked it that they had enough to go on to just show up and con their way in, which is what happened.
That's crazy. When this happened and you guys were on the phone and you were on hiatus for 4 weeks, did anyone think, like, did anyone say or think, I mean, to the best of your knowledge, like, you know what? This could be great for our show. Like, did anyone think, like, this is such, like, so sensational and let's sensationalize this? Do you think the producers thought that? Like, holy shit, we hit, you know, jackpot? Or, like, did any of the cast feel that way?
I think that all of us felt that it was basically them taking the spotlight, and we were all pretty disappointed in this behavior. I mean, it's not just about the TV show either. It's about the safety of our president. And
yeah,
we really were shocked that they made a decision to go that far. and put our president and the White House in jeopardy. I mean, and in a way, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because what it did is it tightened things up, and I'm sure, you know, security to get into a state dinner now is extremely tight. And so thank God it wasn't somebody else that could have done some real damage, and it was just this, like, you know, stunt by a reality show, you know,
Yeah.
someone who wants to just be famous.
I mean, is
So
that what you think the motivation was? Like, do you think it was tied to the show, or they just wanted to be there, or you think it was tied to the show, like, we want to become infamous?
I think that they were just pushing the envelope. They would never have tried to do this if it wasn't for the show. No way. This was all for cameras. This is, you know, I'm sure that they sat there and plotted a way to get in. And apparently, I've read something because I've just been doing some reading about what's out there, because I you know, I don't know what's out there about what happened. I really didn't spend much time reading, you know, what theories were and or what they were saying afterwards. I mean, I just kind of was so disgusted at the end of it that I just kind of I couldn't even watch Bravo TV. In fact, to this day, it's a bit hard because of even the music for Real Housewives is bothersome to me, because it brings back some feelings of disgust and disappointment that are challenging. But I was reading how Tark Salahi, I guess, reached out to someone just prior, like weeks prior to crashing the White House Correspondents' Dinner, because that happened before the White House. They crashed into the White
Yes.
House Correspondents' Dinner
Yes.
before. And I think that there's been someone that reported that Tark was doing some reconnaissance or research about how to crash a major event like that. Like,
Wow.
what's the strategy to do that? So I think that there was some real conniving going on, for sure. But these people would not do this unless there were cameras on them. They just didn't have. There were just would have been no motivation. I mean, they were just conning local, like, charitable events, social events here in DC. Nothing like that would have happened. No way.
And then were you guys all pissed at the producers and like Bravo, like the rest of the cast, like just our show? I mean, you were obviously at the Salahis, like you hijacked our entire show. And then like, did that spill
Yeah.
over to like resentment with the producers?
We let them know that we were not happy, and that we were hopeful in the editing process that they would salvage the ability to develop our characters enough to go forward and not make this a huge waste of time and waste of money, because, you know, you're not paid much in the first season, and you end up
No.
spending a lot of your own personal money
Yes.
to do this. And so we felt like we did encourage them to do what they could to paint the picture enough so that this wasn't going to just crash and burn because of this incident, which, you know, I think they tried their best. I don't think, you know, they had a choice.
And then
Plus,
were
I
you,
also think they were
yeah.
getting directives. I think they were getting directives from Bravo directly that this was how it's going to have to play out.
Right, like this is a huge event, and Bravo was, in a way, probably happy that this was part of their show.
Yeah, and we did take some steps. Actually, the four of us did band together, and we did have a meeting with our producers before we went back to work in January, saying that we don't feel we can't work with them anymore. We don't want to work with them anymore. If you want us, you know, we kind of did a little protest move, and our producers heard us and were very apologetic and understood where we were coming from. And we were pretty firm about our feelings about what had happened, and and putting pressure on them to really do the right thing by us with the editing process and not make this a huge waste of time, like I said.
And basically, you went to the producers and said, if this show comes back, the four of us will not work with these two or Michaela.
And we had one more scene, and God bless Kat. Kat was the one who was the scapegoat here, who ended up agreeing to go and have a meeting with them at Stacy's house. I don't recall exactly what transpired, but I think it was Kat basically, because Linda refused to work with them. I refused to work with them based on what they had done to Lolly and what they were accusing Lolly of. There was no way I was going to be in the same room with them again on camera. Because this was serious. I mean, we're talking about some serious stuff that went down. I mean, a White House crash and FBI investigation allegations against my daughter that were absolutely erroneous. Like, that's BS. No way. I'm not doing it. And TV, drama or not, I'm not doing this. This is how serious I am about this. And so Kat bit the bullet, took the bullet, and there, and we all were in the house, but Kat was in the room when the Salahis came to the door at Stacy's house and had a conversation with them about what happened. And that was it. And we didn't see Mikkel again until August. So we wrapped and did all of our promotional shoots, everything, and she was not there because we told them that we would not work with her anymore. So they in our promo shot with the five of us in the White House in the yellow room, that show, that picture, she was photoshopped in. She's not
Really?
there with us.
So you didn't even want to see her for a picture.
No,
Wow.
we refused. So we didn't see her until we showed up in LA for press.
Wow.
So,
Has anyone seen her since? Has anyone? I mean, I know she's married to the guy from Journey. I saw her because I was at a Journey concert like a year and a half ago. And there she
you
was.
did.
She was, I
Was
was in the
she
front.
front row or was she backstage?
She was, well, I was in the front row. And then, like, between the front row and the stage, there was like that little pit area. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's Michaela. Yeah. So she's there right on
No,
tour.
so that, yeah, oh yes, I know, with hearts all over her. It's pretty funny.
Seriously.
And I'm happy for her. I really hope that she's found some truth and some joy in her life, because I think that she was very unhappy in that marriage. I think that man has problems, and I think that there was some things going on there that we don't know, that I think she was subject to. But anyway, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought now.
She was
That shook me
unhappy.
up again.
And she was unhappy, and she was at the concert, and she was rocking out in the pit.
Oh, she's very happy now, it appears. And very well taken care of. But no, what I was going to say is that we didn't see her until our press tour in LA. So we go to LA to the Beverly Hills Hotel, where there's a big, huge party for all of the NBC Universal shows launching that season. And we were the next Housewives franchise launching. And that was a ball and so much fun. So we were subject to her there, and somehow I got stuck with her, because what they do is they split you up. We don't function going from room to room and talking to E Entertainment and to Sirius Radio all together. We're split up into pairs or threes. And I ended up with her for a lot of that press, because the other three girls were, I think I have the ability to be a little bit more diplomatic than the others, especially Kat.
I was gonna say,
Kat
I think.
refused. I mean, she's just like outright nasty to her.
Wow. Why do you think the show might
But yeah.
work?
Why do I think the show didn't work?
Like what? Well, like as far as like why didn't it come back for a second season? Not that it necessarily didn't work, but.
I think the show worked. It's just that the premise of the show ended up being so hijacked by that nonsense and incident that it was very hard. And also, I think that financially, I think that incident caused Bravo a lot of expense on the legal side. And so their business model was kind of blown out of the water,
That makes
frankly.
sense.
And I also, yeah, and I also think that Andy was getting a lot of pressure from this new partnership or this new ownership from Comcast that, you know, this just is not, this isn't going to work. This is too risky for us. This is not, you know, I really do think that it had to do with the risk of the Salahis. And also, I believe that launching in such a crazy way with such a crazy premise would have made it hard to replace her if, you know, if they had kicked her off and had us four. I
Right.
don't know who else they could have brought on that would have, you know, brought drama like that. So, you know, I think they had a hard time casting the show to begin with, to find people that were appropriate and interested in, you know, sharing their lives and opening up themselves to do it. We
That
did have
makes
one
sense.
girl that quit. Actually, the day we were signing our contracts, she was going to be a sixth cast member.
Ah.
Her name is Lisa Spees, and she's a political consultant to some political that were potential political candidates, and she came all the way to the end. And then the day we were going to sign our contracts, one of her clients said that he was going to fire her if she did it. So she
Wow.
declined at the very last. So we were going to be six, and that would have
Wow.
been interesting. I think it would have. I
Yeah.
think it would have been a little bit different, because she was a piece of work too, and
Wow.
very interesting and animated and politically driven, very politically driven.
How do you feel about Potomac? Like, are you like, well, why aren't the DC girls back? I mean, how does this, it's so right there. I mean, do people ask you about Potomac a lot?
They do. And you know, I've only watched a few episodes of that show ever. Like, I don't watch it. I think the flavor of that show is different. I think that it's not necessarily about DC. I think it's about, I think the reason they called it Potomac is because it's about the river. I mean, the Potomac River is a major thing here in DC, and DC and Maryland are on one side and Virginia is on the other, and it's really a stone's throw across the river to get to either of the three places. And you know, to me, the reason they chose the name Potomac is because it's identifying the place, but it's not DC. It's not about DC. It's
Right.
about women that live around DC and mostly in Maryland. I don't think any of those women live in DC, you know.
No.
Not that
And
that matters, but I think that it's been that it's specifically been oriented around just the lives of the women of that area, not about politics, not about social scenes, not, you know, it's
that
not a
makes
thing.
sense. And you don't know any of them, like Karen or Giselle or any of them.
I don't know any of the I know Charisse, and she's not on the show
Oh,
anymore.
no, she's
She's
not.
the only one.
And then before we.
Robin. I know Robin.
Oh,
That's
you do?
I know Robin. I forgot that she's on it. Yeah, I do know Robin. And she's awesome. She is the one of the last people that I would have thought would have done that too. She's very quiet, very unassuming, very authentic, very down to earth, works hard, and you know, she's just a really cool, laid back chick. And I was so surprised when I saw it was her that was on there. And she's done a great job from what I can see.
I mean, just
Yeah.
from watching her on social media and stuff, I haven't seen the show, but I think that she's brought some I think she's brought some good stuff to that show,
I
what
think
I
so
hear.
too. She's really nice. And then before we bring it back to you and wrap up and we talk about everything you're doing in your life right now, do you think this show, forget about the Salahis for just pretend like they're not part of it or never were, do you think the show would be different because we saw political stuff and race stuff? Like, do you think it would, how different would it be now under the Trump administration? Like, if the Salahis were not in it, but it was the four of you and some other girl, do you think the show would be totally different under a Trump administration?
David, I think it would be the top-rated show in the whole franchise, frankly, right now. I really do. I think that right now, given how polarized people are politically, I can't even imagine the conversations and the drama and what would be going on right now if that show had proceeded and we are here now in this political climate. It would be batshit, I
I think
think.
so because you guys were just very vocal. You're like, I voted for Bush. I'm Republican. I'm Democrat. So it's like, that's the stuff now that makes people go batshit fucking insane.
I know. And now before, for some reason, before you had your opinions and you had your reasons for voting for someone and you had your, issues that are important to you and all of that and all of that. Healthcare and education, all that stuff that we have opinions about. But in this time, I mean, there's just, it's so polarized now because people
Totally.
that are for him are so judged. Like everyone is like, if you like Trump now, you're like what's wrong with you? And I know that he's done some good. I do believe that he's done some good, but I think that overall it's been just a nightmare. And I think hopefully, and what I always bring it back to the fact that his whole political agenda, or one of the major political part of the political agenda he spoke of when he was campaigning was he's going to drain the swamp. And so when all of this controversy comes up and he, is going through an impeachment trial and all of that, it's all about draining the swamp and exposing the political nonsense that does go on that gets things stuck and not getting done and no resolution and wasted money and people's time and tax dollars and all of that. But I think that if we had had the show and it was on today, it would be I think it would be through the roof in the ratings, really.
I think so too, because now the littlest mention of anything political, right? No one's allowed to have an opinion anymore. People go crazy. It's insane. But to your point, right, you used to be able to have an opinion about which side you voted for, and you had a discussion, and or you didn't have a discussion, but everyone was entitled to their own opinion. Yes, I think it would be off the charts, batshit crazy. So, what are you up to now? Like, tell us everything you have going on. And by the way, you can come back anytime you want, and you and I will talk after this offline. But before we wrap up, tell us what do you have going on now?
So I really have over the last couple of years. So I'm now 53 years old, and my children are all gone. I got married. I got pregnant and married at 19. So Lolly Ammons now is turning 34 this year. You can believe
Wow.
that. And
Now.
she's not married. She's doing well. All of my kids are off doing awesome things. They're all settled and happy and productive and making me very proud. So I've kind of over the last few years been in a little bit of this weird transition because my whole life has been about taking care of my children. And I'm the oldest of seven, and my mom and I had babies together. So I've been this like mother figure since I was about 8 years old, helping my mom. And then I got married at 19 and started my family and had five kids.
and was married for 26 years. So I've had this sort of, I mean, I've had some issues adjusting to this new life. And it's been a challenge to try to figure out really what my true purpose is. And always it's been about charity. Like I grew up in charity. My dad started a charity back in the 70s for Vince Lombardi, raising money to raise, you know, to bring cancer. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So charity has been a huge part of my life, and that will always be. So that's my heart. And when I got divorced and had to move, I basically moved from my parents' house to my big girl house with my husband at 19, and, you know, finished school and went to design school and basically raised my family for most of my life, and then started my charity, in 2006. And, so I've been in this transition, and what I've figured out is that I'm more than just a mom.
Yeah.
And so I'm an art. I'm what I'm doing now is that I've moved to Dallas for 2 years, and I'm here, back here in DC. And what I've figured out is that Dallas is awesome. I've learned so much about myself and grown so much there. And I've been doing some design projects there, and I moved there for love. I met and fell in love with this beautiful man, Jeff. He's in the beauty industry, and he's in Dallas. So I moved to Dallas to be with him. And then what I've realized since I've been back here in DC for this forced time to stay home with my family is that I really need to be in both places equally. And being away from DC has been hard. It's been a growing experience. It's made me really think about what I need in life and who I am and what I need to do. So I'm getting back into television. I'm launching my lifestyle blog. I'm working in movie production, which I had dipped my toe in before right at the end of the Housewives experience. And so I'm raising money for films. I'm working with some people in Hollywood that are big, big people. I can't mention them, but I'm getting myself back out there, and I'm painting again. I'm tapping back into my creativity and
That's great.
Taking care of my parents, and really just in a place where I can do whatever I want, and it's awesome. Like I can go and do, and if I want to go, it's like culinary school. I can go do that if I want to go do that. You know, if I want to go be a hairdresser, I can go to hair school if I want to go do that.
That's like,
you know,
I agree. I mean, you're kind of like me, and then we'll wrap up before like my engineers scream at me. But I agree. Like I've done a lot of different things in life, and you know, you're kind of like an entrepreneur, like in the sense that you're creative and you've got a lot going on. And when this is all over and we're allowed to travel again in the world, I have to be in Dallas for this podcast related stuff, and I have to be in DC for two different things. So you and I need to meet and have a drink. Whichever one you're going to be in.
Sure.
It needs to be
for
in one
sure.
of those. And I will
well,
DM
I have
you.
A lot of plans. Yeah, I have a lot of plans, and I'm doing some design projects here. I'm a believer, and I believe that God has a plan and that there is a reason for everything. And I'm seeing a silver lining in this moment right now, as tragic as it is, and as many people that are dying, it's horrible. I'm really blessed with this time to just be quiet and figure out what I'm doing and what I'm going to do to leave a legacy that is important. I mean, we watched the Jane Goodall on Earth Day. We watched the Jane Goodall special on Nat Geo last night about hope. And that woman has left such an incredible legacy, and she's not gone yet, but she's slowing way down. She's in her 80s. And it was so inspiring to me to really figure out what am I going to do to leave a mark on this planet that's going to really make a difference. And it's going to be something that has to do with taking care of women and children on a very basic level and on a very down-to-earth program specific level. And so I'm going to bring back my charity work, Labels for Love. That's coming back.
That's
And
amazing.
I'm doing my design business, Mary Amon's Design. So that's keeping my bills paid, and it's feeding my creative side. And I have some great clients that I'm working with, and
That's
some really
great.
exciting opportunities on the commercial side here in DC that I can't talk about yet, but will be on my social media sometime soon. So I'm just in sort of this transition, and it's a beautiful place, and I'm at peace, and I'm so grateful that my kids are healthy and everybody's safe, and that my parents are still here, and that I can spend this time with them here at this beautiful farm.
It looks gorgeous. Now, where can everyone find you on social media? On Instagram? That's the best place.
Instagram is my so it's interesting, David, because when our Housewives show was on, Instagram didn't exist. So I have like 20,000 followers on Twitter. And I don't really use Twitter much, so I've just started to get back into my Twitter because I do want to get myself back out there, and I want to be communicating with people and sharing things. But Instagram, I only have like 3,000 followers on Instagram. I can't even get
Whatever,
verified on
everyone needs
Instagram.
to follow you.
So
And what are you on Instagram? It's Mary. It's just your first and last name, right?
it's just my name. Yeah, Mary Amon at Instagram. And also on Instagram, my business is on there, Mary Amon's Design.
I see it. There's a link to that.
And
So
my website is Mary Amon's, and that's going to be my lifestyle blog. And my design website is Mary Amon's Design.
amazing.
And
And
I'm
all
bringing back Labels for Love is coming back out of the closet.
that's amazing too. And everything is on your Instagram, and you need to come back. Like, we will wrap up, but we should do like another check-in, like when Labels for Love is like more up and running, and we'll just talk more about
Sure.
you. The next time, I promise, it's not going to be about the Salahis at all. We won't even mention them. We got that out of the way.
Yeah,
We'll have a
I'm
fun
happy
show.
we're over that. We're over that. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And let me just take a quick screenshot of you. It's still kind of blurry, but I'll just try it. And if it doesn't come out, we'll do pictures later.
Okay, wait, let me get my hair cute. One
And
second.
then we'll
Do it
go.
again.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again. If it doesn't come out, I have to look at these after that. I'll call you on Instagram and we'll do a screenshot that way. So, but
Okay,
everybody follow
we'll do a split
Mary
screen.
Amon's. Yeah. And I'll like DM you in a few to say hi. So
Okay,
thank
awesome.
you
We
so
can catch
much
up
for,
real time behind the scenes.
yeah, exactly. You and I will talk
Thank
off
you,
stage.
David, so much for. Thanks so much for reaching out. I really appreciate this, and I'm excited to celebrate 10-year anniversary. Oh, and also, I wanted to mention that Linda Catt and Stacey and I are planning some activities, and we were talking with Bravo about going on Andy's show, and I failed to mention this earlier on that they were reaching out to us to do a reunion show on Watch What Happens Live with Andy, but Mikkel wouldn't respond. And I even reached out to Mikkel on Instagram direct message, and I saw that she saw me and she never responded. So I think that she's probably been advised that she shouldn't be talking about that anymore, and that is a ship that has sailed in her life. And I understand, it's very understanding, but we're going to do some things on our own if Bravo doesn't step up and put us on the show. But I have a feeling that we probably will meet with Andy at some point on his show when everything gets back to normal.
I hope so. And I have to talk to you about something with that too after this, because I had something to tell you. But all right, I'll like DM you in 5 minutes. And love you. The next time you're coming
Okay.
on,
Okay.
it's just about
Love
us and
you.
you. All right, I'll talk to you in a few. All
Okay. All right, David. Thanks
right.
so much.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews
actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind The Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind The Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.